chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. Stand, please, while we read. We'll begin reading in verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray and ask God to help us. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, and we thank you today for the privilege to be in the house of God. And Lord, you've been good to us. We bow our heads and say praise be to the name of the Lord. Then tonight, as we look forward to baptizing and the service, I pray, God, you'd help us. I pray you'd bless those who will be baptized. But Lord, maybe somebody here tonight that they're not saved and they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. I pray tonight the Holy Spirit bring conviction, draw them by your power. And I pray, God, you touch them in conviction. And we'll thank you and praise you. Then, Lord, stir all of our hearts. And I pray that we'll see some truths that'll help us and encourage us for this week and help us as we try to live for you, witness for you, and do those things pleasing in your sight. I pray tonight, bless this service. Lord, I need you to help me physically, spiritually, emotionally, in every way tonight. Touch my mind, illuminate me for your glory. And I pray the Holy Ghost take the word of God and do a work in hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach. So I'm not. I get to the message. I just want to give you an introduction. The message, God's purpose for the church. If you'll notice in verse number 23, he said, which is his body. Which is his body. And Brother Tim this morning was talking about the church and talking about God still makes house calls. And talking about different people being in different places. And Brother RG is up here a while ago praying. He stepped back. When he stepped away from the pulpit, told me God had to send me to Vietnam so he could get my attention. How about that? God still was after him. And God got him. And he got saved. And I say hallelujah for that. Amen. Rather been there and him get saved and not be there and go to hell without Jesus. Amen. And again tonight, he made the statement this morning. They were here. Maybe for a time such as this, God preached that message. He knew what was on order, and God did what he did. Now tonight, God knows who's here. God knows exactly what we need. He knows where we are and how to minister to our hearts tonight. And I pray the Holy Ghost would be real to us and do something inside that would help us in days to come. In looking at this, let me say about the church. In Matthew 16 and 18, you know when Jesus asked him about who they said he was and so forth. Then Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want to say tonight in the introduction that he's the one building the church. He's the one doing the house calling. He's the one speaking to hearts. He's the one that doing what he does. That's true, and everybody gets saved. It's also true in local churches. But somebody, and notice in that verse, it said, I will build my church. Didn't say I have built it. Didn't say I am built. Said I will build. It's all future. And in that time, I believe a good way of putting it is the fact that it was conceived in the Gospels and then on the day of Pentecost brought to a full birth. And the church of the living God on this earth has been a functioning organism ever since. And I say, hallelujah. It is a functioning, and it is functioning, and I praise God and thank God for it and rejoice in the fact of the church. I'm glad for the church, aren't you? Look over in chapter 3 of the book of Ephesians. In chapter 3, now Paul starts talking about, this has been a mystery. In the Old Testament, there's prophecy concerning things about the church. There's prophecy concerning about being saved. There's prophecy about the cross. There's prophecy about all that. But really, the church is here. It's in the valley and mountain peaks of prophecy. Talks about he's coming to set up a kingdom. And they missed the fact of the church. Notice what Paul said in chapter 3, in verse number 2 of Ephesians. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles shall be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And I say hallelujah. I'm glad. He said, now, other ages, they didn't understand that, didn't see that. Gentiles would be all, I don't know if there's any Jewish people here or not. I don't know if anybody's got any Jewish blood in you or not. But if you have, that's well and good. Thank God for all the Jews. Thank God for Israel. Thank God for the word of God that came through them. Thank God for the Savior which came through them. But all of that, I want you to know, as a Gentile, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. I'm a fellow heir with them. And hallelujah. He's God's chosen people for this earth. But we have been saved and put in the same body as they are if they're saved. And a Jew don't go to heaven because he's a Jew. He goes because he gets born again. And if he doesn't get born again, he's not going to heaven. And so, but I pray that God would help. And God has sent blindness to Israel at the time in this Gentile age, this day of grace that he's put us in. Thank God we're in this day, have the privilege to be saved and born in the family of God. And they didn't understand that. They didn't see that. They missed that. But I thank God tonight that we are part of the same body and put in by the same Holy Spirit. And he puts our Jew in, he puts Gentiles in. And that mystery, Paul said, I'm opening it up to you. Look in verse 9 of that same chapter 3 of Ephesians. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world have been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to eternal purpose, which he's purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Paul saying God had revealed that to us. God made it known to us. And he's talking about that mystery. But now I want you to look back in chapter 1. Look in verse number 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And I want you to get this. Making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Did you know many times we pray for people, and I appreciate you praying for me today because I've been sick in body, and I appreciate that. I appreciate praying for folk that's in need. We need to pray for folk in need, and we need to pray that God would bless people, help people, and all that. But did you notice what Paul prayed for here? He wasn't praying for any of those things. They may have needed money. They may have needed help. They may have needed a lot of things. They prayed, and they know more about Jesus. And I say hallelujah. Notice what he said that in Revelation, in the knowledge of him. Saying, I want you to know more about him. I would today that we knew more about him. Amen. And the more you know about Jesus, the better it gets. And when you first get saved, you realize he's a Savior. But then as you get to know him better and better, the better it gets. Amen. And Brother McIntosh testified to that on Wednesday night, how good it had been for him. And praise God, you get saved, then you realize you're saved forever. And then you realize when you're in the valley, he's the lily of the valley. Then you realize that he'll help you through any situation you get into. And you realize that God's still on the throne. God's in charge. and the world around you may give you all the disappointing things and I tell you all the bad stuff, but I'm glad the more you know about him, the better it gets. And we're nearing his coming, so it's getting gooder and gooder, as old fella said. And praise God that it is. One fella had sugar, went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "You got sugar," and he just got saved. He said, "I knew it was getting tweeter and tweeter, but I didn't know it was going to get turned to sugar." Amen. Praise God. And it gets sweeter as the days go by. If I could sing tonight, I'd hit you out a verse of that. It gets sweeter as the days go by. You remember that song, Brother Tim? Sing it sometime, not now. I'm preaching. Amen. He preached this morning. I'm doing it now. But anyway, I want you to see, hear what he's saying now. Notice verse number 18. I don't know what it does for you. I don't know what it will do for you, but I see three things in verse 18 and 19 that Paul was praying as they would come to know Christ better. Some things definite, three definite things he wanted them to know. Now, we're talking about the church, and we're talking about God's purpose for the church. This is introduction to that. This is a groundwork for it, and I want you to get it. And he's talking about that knowledge. Now, look at verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. He said, number one, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. I want to say tonight, I'm glad for Sister Amanda over here. I'm glad for others around here tonight that have come to me, and these recently have come to me and said, "Preacher, I want to be baptized. I need to be baptized. I've never been scripturally baptized since I got saved." Let me quickly insert right here. If you never got scripturally baptized after you got saved, you've never been baptized. Only baptism that is really real is after you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And then you can be scripturally baptized because you're a candidate then for baptism. And it's an act of obedience, and we ought to do that. You ought to be baptized, but you ought to get saved first. You ought to get saved first. A whole lot of us made professions, got in and got under the water before we ever got saved. But after we got saved, I got baptized. Amen. I appreciate some folk coming tonight, going to be baptized. But what I really want to say right here is I'm glad for the hope of his calling that he called our Brother R.G. and over in Vietnam. I'm glad one day he called me. I'm glad he called you. I'm glad he called all. I'm glad he called Amanda. I'm glad the Holy Ghost got a hold of our hearts and called for us to come for salvation. Aren't you glad God saved you? And Brother Tim wonderfully preached that this morning, and I say hallelujah, amen and amen. Are you saved tonight? Do you really know if you drop dead right now, or Jesus was to come, that you go to heaven? Do you really know that? Or do you just hope so, trying to, I think I will, might, make it, all that kind of stuff? That's not the way that you do it. I know that 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 I'm saved. I was talking to somebody this afternoon at my house, and we were sitting there, and I laid back in a recliner trying to rest a little bit, but they got to ask me questions, and so I perked up and started to answer them. And I said, "There's two things I know," and I can go more than that, but there's two things at least I know. Number one is, I'm saved. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Number two, I know God called me to preach. Amen. Not a question about that. I got that settled a long time ago. God settled that in my heart. One Saturday night, he made it surreal to me. He might as well spoke to me from his word. Might as well said, "Here it is." Amen. I'm glad, praise God, God makes it real. Amen. That call of God. But the call, I'm talking about now, salvation. And the thing about it is, there's some folk here tonight that may not know that you're saved. I'm telling you, God's got you here tonight, and he's calling for you. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." Aren't you glad God gives rest under the burden of sin, under the weight of sin, being lost? Do you remember when you was lost and without God? You was under that burden of sin, going to hell, and that weight was heavy upon you, and you come to church or somebody speak to you on the job, and you'd feel like dirt, and you feel that heavy load of sin. But you remember when you came, you heard that call your name, and you came to Jesus, and you gave your heart to him and asked him to save you by faith, took a step of faith and believed it, and that weight was lifted off of you, and he saved you by his marvelous grace. Do you remember that? Do you really remember that? Amen. If we really do, it'll be wonderful to talk about it and tell about it. He's a Savior. Amen. I want to tell you tonight, you're sitting here, you're lost without God, you're without Jesus. You say, well, preacher, I'm going to live it up for a little while. I'm going to live in the world and do my thing. Yeah, you may die suddenly in a car wreck and wake in hell, and it'd be too late for me to say anything over you. It'd be too late for anybody to say anything over you, because what the preacher says don't get you into heaven. Amen. I've noticed in news broadcasts, when anybody gets killed or burned up in the house or anything happens to them, it don't matter what happened to them, everybody they interview says they give you the shirt off their back. They were good people. They did this, they did that. It doesn't mean they might live like a devil and drunk liquor like a gallon, and by the gallon, I don't know, but they're always coming out how good they were. It doesn't mean it's what people say about you after you're gone. It's what Jesus knows about you while you're living. Amen. If he knows you need to get saved, you need to get saved. If you're not saved, you ought to be saved and born again. You say, preacher, how in the world do I know God's calling me? Because there's something down inside tugging at your heart right now. You know you ought to get saved. You know you ought to give your heart to Jesus and get born again. You say, but preacher, I can't live it. You're a good candidate for salvation tonight, because you can't live it and I can't live it. But when the liver comes to live inside of you, he can live in you, through you, and you can live for God by his grace, amen, and by his help. In fact is, that's the best living I've ever done. Is after I got saved and Jesus came in, I tried to look for life. Before I got saved, I tried to find what life was about and what it meant and all that kind of stuff, and tried this and tried that. But one day, hallelujah, life found me, and Jesus came by and called me, and I got saved and born in the family of God, and I just began to live. When amazing grace came in, I just began to live. Amen. Are you living tonight? Are you sitting there dead in sins and trespasses and need to get alive? I'm glad Jesus can make you alive tonight. And he will make you alive. Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him the hearer say, come. Let him the thirst come. Whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. I'm glad to know Jesus calls tonight, and he'll call you to be saved. And you tonight come this way. Whatever reason you're here, God brought you here. And you're here to hear, and you're hearing about being saved. I'm trying to tell you, you must be born again. You don't go to heaven any other way, just being born again. How do I do that? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. It's giving your heart to Jesus. It's asking God to save you. And it's not how many words you put it in. It's just being sincere in your heart, getting tired of sin, repenting, turning from sin to God, and stepping by faith and believing and trusting what Jesus did for you at Calvary. He did it all for you. Now, I want to show you something in this, in verse 18, the last part of that verse. He said, well, the hope of his calling, he calls in salvation, he calls him in service, he calls in, as one day he's going to call and take us out of here in the rapture, amen. I'm not going into all that tonight, but just simply saying he does the calling. But I want you to see verse number 18, the latter part of that verse. I don't know about you. You may have seen this a long time ago. It may be surreal to you. You know, already could tell me a lot about it, but it just became real to me. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, I've often talked about what I've got in Christ. And boy, it's good. I have eternal life in Christ. I have redemption in Christ. I have justification in Christ. I have sanctification in Christ. I have predestination in Christ. In Christ, I have all that. And I'm going to be in the rapture, going to have a new body, going to live in a new city, going to live forever. We have all that in Christ. But this verse here, in the latter part, now I'm going to read it again so you be sure you get what God said, not what Ray Stewart's saying, but what God said. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Have you ever thought about that? What he's saying is, Jesus gets something out of our salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what he said. I didn't write the book. I'm just telling you what he said. But you say, well, I'm just nothing and I can't give God anything. That's how I've always saw it too. But that wasn't what Jesus said, what the Word of God said here through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost by writing to Paul. He said, Jesus, now look at it again. He said, the glory of his inheritance, talking about Jesus, in the saints. In the saints. Who's a saint? Well, preacher, I'm not a saint. I'm saved, but I'm not a saint. If you're saved, you are a saint. Amen. A saint. That doesn't mean it's what some religious body may try to make a saint. That doesn't make a saint. A saint is anybody that's saved by the grace of God, born in the family of God. You are a saint. Amen. Praise God. That makes you somebody going somewhere. Now, in that, and knowing that we're in Christ, and Christ has an inheritance in us. I don't know about you, but I sure am hungry to know more and more about Him. I want to know more about Him in my salvation and my calling. I want to know more about Him and living for Him. But I want to know more about Him and what He's got in me. And I know my flesh wills no good thing. But He said He's going to get some inheritance out of the glory out of me and out of you that are saved. That's what He said. Amen. Hallelujah. And think about that purpose of the church. Hey, it's so Jesus can have an inheritance in Himself. Amen. You get the hold of that after a while. And when you do, you'll forget you're sick. Amen. And you forget everything else and just think, hallelujah. I knew I had a lot in Him, but I didn't know He had anything in me, but thank God He does. And He's got inheritance at bride, and we'll get to the bride later, but praise God. Think about it. There's an inheritance in this thing for the Lord Jesus Christ. We as a church say here tonight, and we think about all that He did for us, and that's well and good. We ought to. I ought to thank Him and praise Him from here on to eternity, but thank God. He said in this verse, boy, that struck me the other day. I looked at it and said, I'll read that right. Let me read that again. And read it again and said, yeah, that's right. And the Holy Ghost said, hey, I've got something in you. And Christ said, I've got an inheritance in the body of Christ. And I say, hallelujah. I'm glad I'm a part of the body. I'm glad I'm a part of the body of Christ. And in that body, He has an inheritance. And thank God, I'm a part of it. If you're saved, you're a part of it. Let me give you the third thing and I quit. And verse number 19, and what is exceeding greatness of His, well, before I give you that, let me give you this. Over in Romans 8, he said, talking about if heirs, joint heirs with Christ, amen, if we suffer with Him, if we glorified together with Him, you let that sink in right good to you. I don't know, it just struck me. I'm an heir and a joint heir with Christ. Everything that He has, I have. You think about that. Everything. You say, preacher, that's putting you somewhere. No, that's what God said. He said, I'm an heir and a joint heir with Christ. Hallelujah. Then He's got an inheritance in us. I can't get over it. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? According to the working of His mighty power. I want you to know that mighty power He's talking about is that resurrection power that worked in Him. He said the same power, exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. According to the working of His mighty power. It's not what we can do, it's what He did. And verse number 20 of chapter 3 of Ephesians says, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What power is that? That's His power. Resurrection power. I'm glad tonight for the power of God. That power is able to save you. That power is able to help you. That power is able tonight to work in your heart, in your situation, your life, whatever it is, the same power that worked in Jesus. All right. Now, that's exciting to think about all that we have in Him, what He has in us, but all the power of God that is real. I'm glad for the real power. God does what He wants to do, how He wants to do it, when He wants to do it, who He wants to do it with. And God tonight brought you here speaking to your heart. Let's listen to Him. Let Him help us. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, thank You for the Lord Jesus. Thank You for the privilege that we have to open the Word of God. Thank You, God, for the strength to proclaim that Jesus Christ is calling for sinners to come home. Lord, I pray tonight as the Holy Ghost speaks to heart, Lord, that You draw them by Your power. And I pray they come to a place of repentance and be saved. Precious folk without Jesus Christ, it's on the road to hell, and they realize that truth. They know they need to get saved. And I pray tonight they come to Jesus. Then, Lord, over the house, folk that are saved, we need help. I'm glad You were the person to give the help. Lord, You're building Your church. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to realize some truths as we enter into the thoughts of that. Tonight, people being baptized because they believed and trusted in Jesus. And Father, I pray you bless it and use it for your glory. Help an invitation in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Stand your feet, please.